Hey guys, and welcome to Fatherhood. You are listening to the Dads Group podcast. In this space, we sit down with regular dads who open up about their key learnings from their experiences of preparing to be a dad and how they work to become better dads. So in today's episode, we'll hear about the fatherhood journey of Dads Group legend Todd Barnes. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands we all meet on today. I'd like to pay respect to elders past, present and emerging, and any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people we have listening to this episode today. Cheers, guys.
Todd, welcome to our Digital Dads Group program. How are you today, mate?
I'm good, thank you. And thanks for having me today. I really appreciate the chance to sit down and have a chat with you both.
Well, mate, this is what it's all about. You know, we've got people doing incredible work across our groups that you actually most of the time are doing it strictly voluntarily. And when I say strictly, it doesn't mean that that's how it stays. But we've got a lot of people that do involve themselves within our programs that that are doing things voluntarily, which is incredible for us, and we're really grateful. So this is a really good opportunity for us to get to know you, but also celebrate and acknowledge the work that you've done for us. But before we go any further, mate, I think it'd be really helpful for our listener to get to know you a little bit, and you know, so tell us a bit about, you know, yourself, as in your family. What's the dynamic, and what do you do for work?
Yep, absolutely. So I'm married. And we've got two young boys here. So my partner, Nikki, we've got Teddy, who's 3 and 9 months. And we've got little Raffy, who's 9 months old too. So that's been a big change for us the last 9 months, having gone from one student to two children, which has been really exciting. And Raffy's at this really cool stage where he's getting up and about. You know, he loves having his big brother Teddy play with him. He loves his all his food and that sort of thing. So we're going through a really, really fun stage in our house at the moment. It's really busy, but also really fun at the same time. And for work, I'm a teacher. So I've taught now for, I think, about 12 years in senior secondary school mainly. So I've just kind of dipped my hand into year seven the last few years, which have been an interesting challenge after senior school.
Yeah.
The little kids kind of come into school, they're just not sure about where they're meant to be. And that's been a good challenge. But yeah, I love being a teacher. And I think that's a big part of my involvement with Dad's Group too, is I love helping and supporting people, and I do that at school, and now I'm finding a way to do that in my local community with dads as well. So it's, I'm really
I love that, mate. That. That's so good. That is so good, and I can totally relate in terms of the age of your kids, and you know, like I've got William who's 4 and a half. I feel like I've said 4 and a half for the last, you know, 6 months. How often, when do you stop?
You the know, half mark, actually. The half marks like last until they change years, man. Just keep using it, dude. Rock with it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, he's 19th of November. So it'd be like up until the 18th, he's 4 and a half.
But, my birthday's 19th of November. So there you go. It's a great day.
Oh, really? Yeah. who's that one?
So that's me. I'm 19th of November. So.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, William, there you go.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah. No, he's 19th of November. And Marnie, she's nearly 8 months. And so, you know, William's been an incredible big brother, and Marnie just adores him, you know, as well. So yeah. I can relate to how cool it is to watch your siblings, how they are with them. And I'm often left, feeling loads of joy just watching them interact and yep. watching William grow and being such so nurturing and so loving and caring, and
absolutely,
it's proud moments.
Teddy's just really lucky. If Raffy's crying, he'll come to him, he'll sing him a song like a little nursery rhyme, or he'll find a blanket for him, or he'll find a toy for him, and he'll really try and cheer him up. And I don't think anyone makes Raffy laugh as much as Teddy does. They just sit there, they just crack each other up all the time.
Oh, you've had a giggle? You've had it? We're still waiting for Marnie's.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Yeah, Raffy.
Either we're not Raffy funny enough.
He's stone cold with everybody up until he gets to know them. And so he met a few people. We just went away to visit my parents, and he met a few like family friends and everything, gave them absolutely nothing. So they're all trying to make him smile. And Teddy is the only one who really just makes him absolutely crack up. So it's great.
Oh, that's so good.
That special bond that they've got.
Yeah, we're not sure, because Marnie smiles like she's always smiling. And very engaged, but yeah, the laugh just hasn't happened yet. And I thought maybe it's we're not funny, or I don't know. But I think, I suppose what I love and what you just pointed out is that he's doing those things without a cue, you know, without being prompted. Like they're just going, like William does the same. Like he'll go up and just do something that to calm her down or to just, you know, show some kind of love and care that we haven't said, hey, can you go and sing a song or can you go and do something funny to make her feel better? Like he just goes and does something, you know, either he'd seen it from us or like he, you know, being at daycare, he would be watching the educators, how they are with babies and other kids as well. What are your thoughts on how you're seeing Ted.
Yeah, it's a bit the same.
Teddy with how he is with rap.
Yeah, I think it really speaks to how much they absorb from us from such a young age and the importance of being that really strong role model as parents, so both mother and father or whoever's at home with them, because they really just take on everything that you do. And so all those little interaction behaviours that Teddy has with Rafi with things that he's watched us do, and as you said, you know, at daycare or they've seen aunties and uncles do those sorts of things. So I think it's a really powerful reminder of just how much influence we have over these little ones in our lives and just how important that role is.
Is that a lesson you think you've learned since becoming a parent, or did you kind of, you know, through your teaching and your training, did you have some awareness of how powerful our role is as parents or as fathers?
Yeah, I think it's probably been, I guess, reinforced through being a parent, but it's absolutely through teaching is something that you notice is that you're the presence in the classroom. So how you come into the classroom is often reflected in the behaviour of the students. So if you're happy and engaged and you're ready to go, you'll often find that with the classroom. Whereas if you're perhaps a bit stressed or a bit anxious or something, or, you know, you've had a rough night, you know, with a little one the night before and or something, and maybe a bit short, then that behaviour is then reflected too. So we really set the tone and the standard, I think. And so both in the classroom as a parents, that's really, I guess, prominent to me and something I really try and be mindful of. And being a parent has just reinforced it even more. So it's, yeah, really a strong believer in that one.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think is the biggest lesson you've learned about being a dad that you had no idea about, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I've learned so much and have changed so much. Maybe a bit of patience. I probably thought that I was generally a pretty patient person beforehand, but I don't think anything teaches you patience as such as trying to get a three-year-old ready in the morning, really trying to make sure you're not getting your, we've got to get out the door. And I also think too, I guess the power of that relationship, I think, is so important. I'm really fortunate that I had a really great home life. Mum and dad were both around and, you know, spent so much time with us. And that's, I guess, come across into my parenting, is that's how I want to be a parent the same way my dad was. So, and I think that's something that's, I guess, yeah, has been really important to me and an important thing that I've learned.
Yeah, I think I can completely agree with that. And yeah, I think one of the hardest things to learn is patience. I think, you know, and it's really helpful if you've got that framework or that you know, from your upbringing. And I think and also obviously with your profession, you know, and especially, I mean, if you're a teacher and you've got 30 kids in your class, patience is extremely important, especially with year sevens, I would say, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it is. And some days it's probably there more than what it is at other days, which is a bit, I mean, that comes with being a human, I guess. So yeah, absolutely, it's a really important thing.
Yeah, yeah. And what's fatherhood been like for you so far since having Teddy, and or even right from the pregnancy period, what's fatherhood been like for you so far?
It's been amazing. It's something that I really like have just loved every minute of it. We've had our definite challenges have come with it, you know, through our fertility journey. Wasn't the easiest thing to go through, and I'm still a bit in awe of my wife and all the things that she went through in terms of that, and particularly with Teddy. And then just having Teddy and that little relationship that we had, doing all those things and watching him develop and grow and doing things with him, and now watching him play with his brother, it's just been fantastic. So I wouldn't change anything. I absolutely love being a dad.
Yeah, nice. Are you comfortable to share anything around to elaborate a little bit more on the fertility challenges you're talking about?
Absolutely. So we tried, I think, to have Teddy for probably about 5 years. And it wasn't happening for us. We were seeing like a couple of different fertility specialists. We were seeing like a Eastern treatment, so like things like different herbals, that sort of thing. Acupuncture as well, which is a new experience. And my wife went through a number of procedures and treatments and everything. So the things that she did and what she went through so we could have our little family again is just amazing. So thankful that she did that. And yeah, I don't know if I could have done it with such grace that she went through. So everything was just, yep, we just do it, we move on to the next thing. And I'm just like, oh, are you okay? Like, you've just done this and this. And she just like, no, it's okay, we're doing this for our family. And yeah, and so yeah. We were at a point where I think IVF was our next step. And that was going to be, I guess, a really big step for us because, you know, we really wanted the family to happen. And then all of a sudden it just happened. And then 9 months later, Teddy came along. So it was just really out of the blue. We weren't expecting it. And it was just an absolute blessing for our family. And then with little Raffy, that was, I guess, a much easier process to go through. So not as long as what Teddy took. I think Raffy was about 6 months in the making. Yep. And we were at that point, we're like, okay, we probably need to start going down the line of seeing specialists again. And then again, just after Christmas, Raffy decided to come along. So yeah, we were really, really fortunate again that that process was much easier this time around.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I can totally understand what you're saying in terms of how it can just be, you know, we can just be in awe of our lovely partners and wives that and women that can, put themselves through so much, not only through, trying to get pregnant, but also during pregnancy and clearly the birthing experience and post-birthing experience, which I don't think for me I understood anywhere near as much, particularly the birthing experience, the first time with William, and what the effects can be afterwards and how long the recovery period can be. And there's even ongoing things now, for Katie. I don't think I really understood how long-term and ongoing these, issues can be that women can face after birth. And, it's that pre learning that I think would have been really helpful, in the early stages. And I think and then before Marnie there was two miscarriages, that one a bit greater than the other, but again not really having a clear understanding of what I knew about it, but probably didn't understand it as well before.
They're not things I think we're really prepared for as men and as adults. We told about them, we know about them, but it's not something that it's how do you prepare to go through it. I've had some friends go through that sort of thing, and it's really, really challenging because it's not really spoken about a lot as well. So you might find out after the fact, but probably during that time, I don't know if it's a reluctancy to share it or what it is, but it's one thing I think that needs to be more promoted is, open up and sharing these stories, because there are so many people who've been through the same thing. And if we can lean on each other, and I guess that's what Dad's Group is really great for, creating that area where people can do that.
Well, absolutely. But I think it's really important. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. But I think it's one of the reasons why it's so critical for us to have great and supportive and collaborative partnerships with an organisation like Healthy Male, for example. Healthy Male are an incredible organisation that can provide some really clear and helpful information for men to understand, issues with fertility and why there can be issues and helpful tips on how to improve fertility and those sorts of things. So, if you haven't heard of or if it's something that is challenging you at the moment, I highly recommend you get onto the Healthy Male website. From there. And so Todd, not so much looking at, the blame laid, but where, so it's not about blame, I want to make that clear, but where was the issue mainly? Was it issues from both point of view, or was it like, did you know that? Was it that was one of the key things I'd
understand? So there was, I think from both ends, we both needed a bit of extra help. And so I guess to get a bit more technical, like I had low motility. And so that was something that I was looking at and receiving the acupuncture for, and taking fertility herbs as well. So doing those on that, the acupuncture was a fortnightly basis, and taking herbs every day. And then Nikki had to go through a few procedures, obviously help with a few things down there. So I'm not quite sure some of the technical things that she went through. A few different, she went through a pretty major surgery and then also different treatments at various times with the fertility specialist.
Wow, it just goes to show, and it continues to make me so baffled as to how people can have like a one-night stand with someone and just fall pregnant, you know. But yet there are people that are, you know, trying and trying and trying and either succeeding or I won't use the word, you know, or not succeeding. I'm continuously baffled as to how that can happen. Yeah. And I suppose just goes to show how, when if falling pregnant is successful, how incredibly important it is to reflect and actually realize how what's the word I'm looking for, how lucky we are to have kids. And I suppose we didn't realize that again until when, you know, having issues with getting pregnant with Marnie before Marnie came along. You know, because with William, it was pretty much a slam dunk as far as we're aware. I also don't know how people can identify where they fall, where they conceive. You know how you hear stories of where they're like, oh, mum and dad, they tell me they fell pregnant on the kitchen table. They conceived me on the kitchen table. Unless you've done it once in a year, how do you even know that? You know, when it
I know. I guess people embellish and stuff. It adds a bit of flavour to the story, doesn't it?
I think it has to be. Like
a camping trip.
100%. Like, even during the period where you're trying, you know, like, I don't know about you, but I didn't know how much hard work it really can take. Like, in when she's ovulating, for example, you know, like several times in a week.
You know, dude. Oh, no, I get that. It is a head trip, man. So I was going to actually ask a question to you, Todd. Todd, first of all, like, I really appreciate you sort of showing appreciation to your wife and you know, what she's been through physically, because that's something that I've come to realize is how much it does affect the woman's body and how much that messes with them mentally as well. Like, my wife is like, you know, she's constantly affirming mums that have gone through stuff because what their bodies have been through. And so for our listener, like, get on that train, like, encourage and thank your partner for what their body has been through. Like, seriously, that's a big, big note to take away from what Todd's been saying. So we've been in this process. We've been trying for over a year and a half now. We've had a miscarriage in there as well. And it was very difficult. And it's such a head trip, like what you're saying, like, because when they're ovulating, like, it's a head game, dude. Like, I struggle. I really do. And it's like, once they're ovulating, you have to get in the zone. You've got to be like switched on.
I feel
on.
Like I've got to go and see a high performance coach. Seriously, just to get me through that.
Get the Gatorade in and, like, oh, mate, it's like, it's full on. But
I need to bring Steve Bradbury into it or game something time, like that.
You know? That's it, mate. Like, I've got a whole, like, map planned out on the side here. I'm reading that, like, that is playing. But What I wanted to ask you, in that process of getting pregnant, Todd, what was the role that you sort of felt like? Obviously, there's the sperm role, but other than that, like, what is the role that you sort of tried to fill or just naturally fell into through that process? Because, again, you've already had a kid, your partner, you know, obviously all the things that we're talking about with what was going on with their bodies and everything, but also it's a head trip for them too. Like, I feel like for me, typically it affects my wife more than it affects me. To an extent. So what sort of role did you see yourself falling into in that process?
Yeah, I guess it's pretty much just that support role and doing everything and as much as you can to make sure that they're comfortable and they're getting the help that they need, and, you know, just the constant reminders that everything is going to be okay. I know that particularly towards just before we conceived Teddy, it was a really challenging time for both of us, and I really tried to just make sure that I was there to be a support, like, you know, it's okay, things are going to happen for us, and tried to be, even when I might have been thinking myself, you know, I'm really struggling with it, I tried to kind of put that away and just really be that supportive face and that supportive person there for Nikki. And now afterwards, particularly both boys now, I know, hope Nikki wouldn't mind me saying this, but her body's kind of just gone through a lot, you know, at the moment. She's seen a chiropractor to help with her back because of holding the baby boys and breastfeeding. And so she's going through a lot with that. So I'm trying to just get heat bags, make cups of tea, look after the boys where I can, give her downtime and alone time if she needs it, and just do what I can, because at the moment she's like the primary, because I can't do the feeding and everything. So I try and do everything else around that that I can do to be supportive. And just make sure that if she needs something, I try and get it. And I'm probably not the best sometimes. You know, I might have had a really rough day at work and I might sit down and be like, oh, hang on, now I need to go and do this. And I just try and always be mindful of her first and the boys first and make sure that they're looked after in that time. And I guess, what else can we do as dads? You know, that's, I guess, our main job.
Definitely. So with that, and this is... I'm trying to think of how I say this next question. With that, was there anything that you tried to do that wasn't helpful? And what was that process like?
Oh, I don't know.
You're just perfect, mate. Just say it. You're just perfect. You just nailed it, dude.
No, I'm trying to think of anything that didn't work out. I know yesterday we probably got in a little bit of an argument because I tried to suggest to me maybe change a few things, you know, and just little things like to do with like sleep panel. I'm like, oh, I've noticed him doing this, maybe we should do this, and he's like, no, we can't do that, and that sort of thing. So I think sometimes maybe just stopping and listening. I tend to be a little bit, and this is just me as my personality, sometimes get a little tunnel vision on things. We should do this now, and so I sometimes need to stop and go, like, again, I've got to listen to a few other people on this before perhaps saying things, or maybe phrasing things in a different way, that it's more of a conversation rather than, oh, we should do this.
I find timing is critical, you know, whether it's asking if I can go away with the boys for the weekend or you know, anything like something. That I think that timing is also really critical, you know, asking them that kind of, or talking about that kind of thing, you know, in the middle of witching hour is just probably the worst thing you can do, especially if they've been the ones home all day. I think it's, but some really key points that you talked about, and one of the key themes that I was hearing is just exploring ways, you know, of where you can be helpful in when there's areas that you can't, because they're, you know, it's a process that you're physically unable to do. And I think it's really, what one thing I'm really keen to understand a bit more on, though, is, you know, during the periods of, and we will move on from the areas of difficulty of getting pregnant, but I think it's really helpful and critical for people to hear about. How did you keep trudging on? You know, like 5 years is a long time. I found it really, really hard. Even only, it took us probably about 5 months, but that felt like an eternity. So you're talking 5 years. How did you keep trudging on when, you know, as I said, like for us, when the miscarriage happened, I was really fearful that it would just keep happening and happening and happening, and how that was going to impact my wife, and how it's going to, you know, we've got another one we had to keep looking for. Keep looking after another child in the house that we're looking after and nurturing and raising. How did you keep trudging on, Matt?
I think, I don't know if I did it the best way, in able to kind of keep going through it, but I think I'm quite good at, and probably I think that I'm good at it, at separating things. And so I was able to kind of separate those feelings of, I guess, of sadness and, you know, concern and stress about the fertility and what was going on there. And then kind of put that aside, and I was able to go to work and come home and be supportive of Nikki at home and do that. But I think part of the problem is that eventually gets to a point where it starts to bleed through. And so I went through a period of really high anxiety, particularly at work. And so it wasn't until after we conceived Teddy is that I was like, oh, all that stress kind of just relieved. And I wasn't really aware that I was feeling with it. And so I think that's a big part of who I am. You know, I went through a few things in my kind of early 20s where I took on this real role of trying to be a rock for everybody. And what happens when you do that is you don't share things yourself. And so I think I probably could have done a better job of actually sharing how I was feeling. And a part of that too, I guess, because of what happened in my early 20s, I'm a strong believer in counseling and seeing people and talking about these things as well. So I did it too late, in honesty. I should have seen someone sooner. But I, you know, I did go and see a counsellor to share those thoughts as well and kind of get a few, I guess, reminders and a few proactive things on what to do there. So,
yeah, nice.
I don't think I handled
it. How did you go about that? So when you sought professional support after Teddy was born, or when that was, how did you go about it, mate? Like, did you go and start by seeing a GP and then go through that process? Did you contact someone like Panda, or what did you do?
I'm actually really fortunate that through work we get access to counseling services. It's through EAP, and so that's just something where, as a teacher in the Catholic system, we can just contact them and just say, I live in this area, I like this sort of support. They provide a different range of services. And then from there, they give you a call when you work out, you know, just appointment time and go along. So really, really fortunate to be in that position where I could just access something like that straight away. So
for those unaware,
within a few weeks, so it was really, really beneficial for me.
That's awesome, mate. Good on you for, first of all, recognising it and then doing something about it. And for those to be aware, EAP stands for Employment Assistance Program. A lot of businesses and organisations do have this program. So, you know, if there's something that you require and some support, g'day, mate, come in, support, then, you know, check out to see if you've got the Employment Assistance Program, or even check out to see if your employer has some other types of support. So let's move on a little bit from what you were talking about now. A lot of it has been so far around pre-birth and pregnancy and that kind of thing, which we're really grateful for what you shared. What's been something that you've realised as to what, you know, you can have an impact on your kids? So as a father and as a partner, how do you see your role in having an impact on your children's life?
I think the way I see it with our boys, and this is something I learned from my dad, is being there and being there for them. And that's something that's really important to me. So at the moment, I commute for work. And so, you know, I leave pretty early in the morning, and I quite often don't see the boys because, you know, I leave before they wake up. And now my wife's gone back to work, so we kind of like we get them up and we ship them off. No, sorry, that's the wrong word. They head off to Nana's and to the babysitter. and then at night, obviously, because like as a teacher, like it requires, you know, after hours work, a marking from me, and so I really make sure to try and have quality time with them, because that's something that my dad did for us. My dad was he wasn't the strong kind of like the sharing type as such. He didn't really talk about things that were going on with him, and that we didn't have much of an idea about that sort of stuff. But he did things with us, and that was really, you know, that's how he showed us he loved us. And so that's something that I really try and do for my boys is to be there for them, and also, you know, to let them know that we're a safe place where they can come and share things and talk to us as well. So I guess is being that person for them that they need. If they need someone to play with, if they need, like last night, Teddy was really upset. You know, we had a big day traveling yesterday, so I think a bit of our routines were out, and he just needed the cuddle. So we just got him up, and he just needed that at that time. So I was like, put the TV away, put the phone away, and just give them that cuddle and make sure that they're looked after, their needs are first.
Mate, that's so cool, and that's really strange. In terms of last night, William had a similar thing where he just suddenly, like, I got him out of the bath. No, actually, I was getting him out of the bath, and he just had this sheepish sort of head down look on his face, and I was like, oh mate, what's going on? And well, all I could hear in the bath was him playing, and then all of a sudden when I go in to get him, he's suddenly looking really down.
And
I was like, what's going on, mate? And he's like, I don't know.
Teddy said the exact same thing. He didn't know what was wrong. He just was upset, so he just needed some time with us. And then I think he's feeling a bit better today. He's up and about watching a bit of Paw Patrol.
And that's awesome, mate. And it reinforced that, you know, kind of feels like I did the right thing, which was literally, you know, I'm sorry, you know, to acknowledge that it's okay to feel how he's feeling, and talk about the fact that often I feel upset or tired or not tired. There's a reason for that. Upset and angry, or and no real idea why. You know, and so I acknowledged that to him, and I helped him understand that too. And all I did as well is just gave him a cuddle and I said, it's okay, mate. Mummy and daddy are here. So we'll just have a cuddle for a little while and then we'll go from there. And I think that was really important. And it was a really great learning experience to kind of, because there are a lot of different responses that could have been there. And probably one of the worst responses I could have given was, oh, mate, come on, let's just, you're fine.
Just suck it up and, you know, you'll be
suck it up and let's go. Yeah. Come on, let's go get dressed. You know, and so really good on you for doing that as well and taking that time and to, they needed a hug.
Yeah.
That's all they needed, a hug, and they needed their feelings to be validated in that moment, even though in my mind it seemed strange for him to be in that spot. Why would he be in that space? You were just playing.
and nothing has
happened.
Yeah. And our car trip was fine yesterday too. Like, the boys were okay. They slept for a little bit. They play. They read books and we play games, that sort of stuff. And then just last night just kind of just exploded for everybody. You know, we're all just all tired, a bit out of it. And yeah, so it was really, really challenging. But yeah, I think it was just to stop, give them what they need, and then, you know, and that'll kind of help them just to feel a bit better. And they know that we're there for them as well.
It can really throw, it's just another example of how they can throw you so many curveballs, you know, within a split second, you know, and how they can go from being an absolute mess to being the happiest child on a dime.
Yeah.
I would love to have the ability to change my emotion as fast as our kids can. Like if they piss me off, it takes me ages to shift those feelings back around, right? You know, yep. It just takes eight. Well, for me anyway, it takes ages. So, and you know, but for kids, they're so resilient.
I know, and they don't hang on to things in the same way that we hang on to them as well. Like, you know, if I've had a bad day at work, I'll carry that with me I try and let it go, but I might carry that home. It impacts, you know, what I say here, I might be short with people, but for them, they're just like, oh, I'm upset. Oh, I'm okay, now let's go to the park. Or, oh, is that ice cream over there? And all of a sudden they're happy again.
Yeah. Speaking of, his back. Oh, man, he's back.
Get out with the Mandarin.
But I don't even know what he's doing back here. But anyway, we'll start to look at getting to wrap up shortly. But hi, mate. But the last question that we are... Amanda Ree, yay. Another one. For those that are wondering, why are we still recording and continuing on? Reason being, this is Dad's Group. This happens, you know. We've got our kids are involved in our life and that things are the way they are. That being said, I think it's something that we covered last, I know it's something we covered last week when I was talking with Simon, was around also helping our kids understand that some boundaries as well. You know, like I'm okay for him to come in and have that quick thing with me now, but if that went on, he would also need to understand that which I did preface before coming on this call, that it's important for him to understand my boundaries and my environment's important too. You know, and I think as parents, we can forget that our environment and our zone is important just as much as it can be for our kids. What do you think about that, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think probably the last 2 years with COVID and with remote learning the remote lockdowns and everything has really, I guess, blurred those boundaries too, because all of a sudden our work environment has been brought into our home environment. And so that's something that, like, I found particularly difficult. And I mean, like, I loved it at the same time because we were here, but it was really hard to look, all right, I've got a really important class now. You know, I've got my VC class and I've really got to get through this content with them. I can't have the kids here, you know, interrupting and stuff like that. And other times it was okay for them to be part of it. So I guess it's really, and as, you know, he was two at the time, so how can you teach a three-year-old, you know, that dad needs some time, really, really
difficult. Yeah.
But it's, I guess, just being consistent with things. You know, Teddy does this thing, and I don't know how much we can share on the podcast and that sort of thing, but like, he'll slip his hand down the back of my pants, something, and he just loves it because I hate it. I get all up and about. So if you want to edit this out, feel free to edit it out, because I
get it. No, it's good stuff,
something I really have to, because I give the big reaction, he just cracks up laughing. And so that's something I'm really trying about at the moment. We don't do this to people, because he only does it to me because I react in that way. But that's something where I'm really trying to set some boundaries with him and what he can do. So I guess it's an extreme example to the question.
Yeah, I hear you, mate. And I think it's just, it's a really good point to make, though, where, like, you know, there's only so much that they can take as well. Though.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
As in, you know, yeah, like you're doing something that's critical for 30, 40, 50, maybe more students, whoever it is at the time. But I suppose it's hard at the same time. And the guilts that you can feel like,
absolutely.
Again, this morning, like, Williams had more screen time than I would normally like, but yep. I've had to do it because of work commitments that I've had this morning. But the guilt that I feel for not paying him the attention is brutal.
That's right. And that's where I think that the blurring of boundaries, like, it's not something that we were ready for when it happened with the lockdowns. And I don't think it's something, too, that we've really kind of moved away from yet, like, because, you know, we might hopefully don't go back to the remote teaching, that sort of thing, but a lot of people are still working from home. You know, their offices are closed, or they're doing the split, you know, time in the office or time at home. And so, and our young kids, the little kids see those, and so it's about, you know, how do you find that boundary in that space and what you need to do, while at the same time giving them the time that they need as well. So I think that's going to be a really important challenge that people will face over the next few years as we kind of continue this flexible working model.
Yeah, nice, mate. And so every week we ask the final question we ask our incredible dads is around, you know, what piece of advice would you give an expecting father? What's one thing you would give them?
I think, and actually I was talking to a friend about this a few weeks ago, and they've just had their little one not too long ago, is just to stop and just enjoy every moment of it, just because it changes so quickly. They're only so small for a few days and you don't notice, but it's all of a sudden, well, when do they get this big? You know, when do they start kind of sitting up a little bit? It's really making sure you spend that quality time. And I'm guilty of this, but putting the phone away, you know, I've always got my phone around, putting the technology away and just spending time with them. And I think that's the most powerful thing as dads we can do, because you create that core relationship, you have a strong foundation for it to build upon, and you love it too. Like, it's amazing. So absolutely, spending time and just putting things away, I think, would be the biggest bit of advice I've got.
No, I love that, mate. I really appreciate that. And I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that will as well. And I think I just want to quickly ask you, or touch on, though, you know, have you found after having the second child that what you just spoke to now, you know, has having the second child allowed you to actually realize how quickly they change? Because you now, you know what I mean? Like, because for me, I feel like I'm you know, more experienced and able to notice things with Marnie that I probably wouldn't have noticed as much with William, but also realized how fast time can go from having William, how important it is. It's reinforced how important it is to actually take stock and appreciate, the little milestones or how quickly things. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think even just the other day, we were talking to, like, Rafi and playing with him. He started making a new sound, you know, and it's only a little change, but it's something that's different, something that's a part of his development, you know, on his way to talking and to speech. And it's just that we think, oh, that's really cool. He made that little sound just then. Because it was different, it was new. So I don't know if with Teddy, because everything was so new and you're a bit really unsure of yourself and you're trying to find your feet, if you do pick up on those things. I don't think I did. I think I was pretty lost, you know, trying to balance being a new dad, you know, working full time again, you know, helping at home. So, like you said, I think with a second one, because you have a bit more experience, you can pick up on those little things and enjoy it as well on the way. It makes it just that little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. So the advice is absolutely spot on. You know, take the time to take stock and think about and appreciate and in the little things that are going on. Todd, we are so grateful to have you on today, mate, and thank you so much for being so raw and honest and sharing your story, and also your we appreciate your partner for and allowing us to talk about some challenges that she's had. And I think you've taught me something today as well. We need to spend a little bit more time celebrating our beautiful mums that that our kids have got. And so I think from here on, our podcast will spend a brief bit of brief, but a good chunk of time acknowledging our incredible mums as well. So thank you so much for bringing that to us today.
You're more than welcome. And thank you for the opportunity too. I've really, really appreciated this, to sit down and have a chat about these things. I think it's really powerful, these conversations. It might just be something small, but it might remind us about something or teach us something. And I think for me, it's reminded me about a few of those things that, you know, I've said that I want to do and I've talked about. So that's like, all right, I've got to start doing that again. So that, just that little reminder for myself to put the phone away, to spend a bit more time with the boys, and, you know, really make sure, particularly on school holidays, to make sure I make that time meaningful for them.
Perfect, mate. Well, thank you again. It's just been an absolute pleasure. And Blair, if you've got nothing else to add, we'll send Todd on his way to go and spend the rest of the day with his kids, and I'm going to take William to the zoo.
I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. If you'd like to support Dad's Group, then check out our merchandise at www.dadsgroup.org. While you're there, check out the Get Support tab to see all the incredible resources available to new and expecting parents. I hope you guys have a great week, and I'll catch you next week. Cheers, guys.